Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back, and I think we've got everything straightened out here. Michael Cohen with producer James Platy, 633 here in Lansing on a rainy Friday night. Well, to say that last month was a good one for the Big Three may be an understatement. U.S. auto sales rose nearly 16% in February. The annual sales rate jumped to its best level in 4 years. To break down the numbers and to find out what's driving the sales growth, I'm joined by Michelle Krebs. She's a senior industry analyst for Edmunds.com. She's covered the automotive industry for more than 25 years, writing for publications such as the New York Times, Motor Trend, and Auto Week. Michelle, thank you very much for taking some time to join us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Now, I want to start with today's news that GM has decided to halt production of the Chevy Volt for 5 weeks. Bottom line, the Volt just isn't selling as well as expected. Do you think GM made some kind of a mistake with this vehicle?
Well, you know, it's a technology leader and a pioneering technology. I'm not so sure it's a mistake, but, and in fact, you know, a lot of companies, including Ford, like you just mentioned, are coming out with plug-in hybrids like the Volt going forward. But here's the problem. The economics just don't work for the consumer right off the bat. So even in these times of high gas prices, to get that back, that premium you pay for this massive amount of technology, you're just not going to get the savings back. So there's got to be a lot of technological breakthroughs and some financial breakthroughs to get these vehicles to where they're even with gas cars.
So Ford or GM projected or hoped at least to sell 60,000 Volts this year. They've sold 1,600 so far before taking this break.
They sold 7,000 since last December, which is way under what they'd hoped. Now, they'd hoped to be at least 10,000 by now.
I wonder if they continue on a pace that's far below their expectations, do you think they're going to make some kind of a change or maybe decide to no longer go with the Volt as the model they're backing?
I think they're going to stick with it for a while because it is a technology leader. We've got very stringent fuel economy standards coming in 2016 and even tougher ones in the 2025 timeframe. Every vehicle in the future is going to have some form of electrification. They're ahead of the game. I always tell people this is like we're in this pioneering period and we're in the covered wagon time. And, everybody's going to have these kind of vehicles. It's just we've got to figure out a way to make them work financially for the consumer and financially for the car companies, too.
These auto sales figures that we're seeing now for February, does that confirm what some auto executives have been saying, which that even though Americans, many are still struggling, there's a lot of pent-up demand out there, and that as the economy recovers, we're just going to see more and more cars being sold?
Absolutely. In fact, we've been waiting and waiting for this to happen. There's a tremendous amount of pent-up demand. The cars on today's roads are ancient by, you know, historical standards. The average car is almost 11 years old. The average truck is even more than that. So we've known that there's all this pent-up demand building. And finally, people are getting to the point that they feel more comfortable about their employment status, their credits available where it hasn't been before. And so it appears that finally the consumer is feeling like, okay, time to get rid of the old ride. It's costing me a lot in repairs. And, hey, I can get this new car, gets better fuel economy, and they're going for it.
I guess the surprising thing, though, is that trucks are selling quite well also.
Well, yeah, that was the interesting thing about yesterday. We had fully expected small car sales would do well, but the increases were pretty much across the board. It was every manufacturer to some degree or another was up. Segment had some increases, some more than others. But yes, one of the points General Motors made was that they're getting a lot of commercial orders from agricultural companies, from businesses that finally have decided they've got to replace their fleet. So that's a really good bellwether.
I'm talking to Michelle Krebs, a senior industry analyst for Edmunds.com. I wonder, with gas prices creeping up, some say they will be at $4 a gallon this spring. Is that going to have a real impact on sales of at least trucks and larger vehicles?
Well, we don't think it'll depress sales overall, but we do think that there will be some shifting in the market. And in fact, we saw the first signs of that. We're seeing tremendous strength in the small car market. The Honda Civic, they sold 27,000 of them. That's a huge number. We're seeing a lot of strength in the midsize sedan segment, and there's a lot of new product in there, so that helps. And truck sales we've never anticipated would be huge, because a lot of the people that use those for personal use, you know, didn't really use them for work, are out of the market. So that's never going to be as huge as it used to be. But, you know, still, it's got some strength.
Consumers Report issued its automaker report card this week. The Japanese automakers once again dominating the top rankings. What does that say about the quality of the cars that the big three are manufacturing?
Well, but if you looked at it closely, the gap is narrowing tremendously. So Consumer Reports actually had some negative things to say about Honda and actually Volkswagen too, because they're in the situation where they've got currency problems that are causing them to focus on a lot of cost cutting, and that is becoming very obvious in the car itself. That's one of the big complaints about the Honda Civic. Consumer Reports took that off their recommended list, but the gap is narrowing. One of the problems with Chrysler and GM in particular is they still have a lot of the older, not quite so high quality vehicles in their portfolios, whereas Ford has pretty much redone its whole line. But Ford has got some issues with some of its technology too, by the way.
You know, the bailout of GM and Chrysler was a major topic this week, of course, here in Michigan, as the Republican primary was unfolding. With your understanding of the auto industry, what is your view on what would have happened if GM and Chrysler did not receive government support?
Well, at Edmunds, we took the stand that it was the absolutely right thing to do for the government to provide funding for them to get out of Chapter 11 bankruptcy, because, frankly, there wasn't money in the private markets. And it would have had a devastating effect, not only on the auto industry, but we would have seen suppliers who are living on the edge at the time go under, and that would have hurt Toyota. It would have hurt Ford. But it would have had a huge impact on what was a very fragile American economy at the time. We may not have been in recession. We might have gone into depression.
These claims, let's call them, that GM would have no longer existed as a company. We would have seen, you know, tens of thousands of jobs decimated. Do you think that, in fact, is what we would have seen without the bailout?
I think that was very much a possibility. That's, you know, we were watching it every day, and that was very much a possibility. And it wouldn't have been just GM going down and Chrysler going down, but it would have been left a lot of supplier companies. It would have caused a lot of dealers to go out of business, and it would have hurt the other manufacturers who would have been, you know, their supply chain would have been interrupted as well.
So the good news now, we're seeing these numbers, these sales numbers that analysts were actually not anticipating. Is it definitive now that this year is on track and will likely be even a better one than last year, perhaps?
Well, we absolutely know it will be a better year. Last year it was a 12.8 million unit year. This year we're predicting 13.6. We could be low. We're waiting for March to come in. March is a huge month for sales. It's the start of the spring selling season, which is big. So if those numbers come in really big, then, you know, we could be seeing a lot of analysts revise their forecasts upwards. So we think there's a lot of upward potential. There's a lot of, you know, gas prices and the whole situation in the Middle East are still a concern. But there are a lot of things that are in place to cause the industry to grow.
Now, GM was up, what, over 1%, Ford Motor mm-hmm. up over 14%, but Chrysler sales, they went up over 40%. What was behind this big jump for Chrysler this last month?
Right across the board. Every product was up. They did not have any dogs in the game. And even the Fiat 500, which had some struggles, was up. So, you know, they've got some great marketing. The Super Bowl ad helps them every time. And they'd had new product in the marketplace. They were also coming from a much lower base. Where GM came out of bankruptcy having a lot of product in the pipeline that they just had to push out there, Chrysler did not. So it got a late start on getting its new product out there. So That's why we're seeing really strong comparisons.
Even the Japanese automakers, Toyota, Honda, getting 12%, Nissan 16%. How have they generally fared when compared to the U.S. automakers where we focus so much of our attention on?
Well, Toyota and Honda have been hurt badly by the earthquake exactly a year ago, the March 11th earthquake and tsunami. It shut down a lot of their production. They've had a hard time getting back their inventory replenished. Honda especially. In fact, Honda doesn't think it'll have its pipeline refilled totally until the end of March. But they're getting more and more traction every month, so they're back in the game. And then Nissan got back in the game quickly, and if you paid any attention to their advertisements, they let people know that, unlike their competitors, they had vehicles to sell, and they also had some pretty aggressive incentives to kind of grab market share from Toyota and Honda while they could.
Michelle Krebs, senior industry analyst for Edmunds.com. Michelle, certainly we'll want to have you on when we get the next set of numbers. Sounds like they will tell us a lot about
what's
ahead.
Let's hope so.
Indeed.
Let's hope they're good.
Indeed. Michelle, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.